So do you have the name of the article? Kinda, sorta, not really.
I was just looking at my text messages.
Who texted you?
Andy, he said somebody wants to do yoga in the parking lot of Sacred Hour. Do you think she's unwell? He was asking me about this woman that we know that all of a sudden randomly said, does anybody want to do yoga at 6 o'clock in the parking lot? And he was like,
well, don't say the name of places because now that you just plugged them.
Oh, sorry. No, I didn't realize we were going.
Now. I know. We're in. I gave him a little free publicity.
No. Okay, sorry.
But I mean, that's okay. Is this table, is this a mess? Do you hate this?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I can work with that.
Well, is this what we're going to do every episode?
I mean, I think this is how it's supposed to work, right?
So. Yes.
You talk, and then other people listen to you.
They're like, oh, what? Tell me more. Hi, this is Kelvet with the Meanwhile podcast. And I have a very special guest here today, a longtime friend, Susan.
Hi, this is Susan. I was trying to think about when we met, what year we met.
I know what year.
What was it?
Do you want me to say out loud?
Yes.
2003.
Okay, I didn't know if it was 2002, 2003. So I had this very distinct memory, and I've told you this before, the day that I met you, you came up to me and pretty much like in a nutshell said, you know, you keep telling all these jokes, but no one's laughing.
I did not say that.
I was like, who is this bitch telling me my jokes are not landing? And I just said, oh, well, I'm just saying them to entertain myself. It's not to be funny. I remember because I went home and I told my other friend, I was like, they're trying to hire this girl and she's trying to act like my jokes aren't funny.
Did I really?
You totally said that.
But that's because you were dressed like Jane from Daria. You had black nail polish, black lipstick.
Never did. That's a false memory.
Black hair. You didn't have black hair.
I did.
Now she is a sunny California blonde.
This is true.
Wait, did I really say that?
Yes, you did.
That was rude.
I mean, I think you were just trying to make conversation. I don't fault you for it. I think you were just trying to, I mean, I think you're just trying to feel me out and see.
I was like, what's going on here?
Right.
I was like, is this the stand-up routine I'm going to get every day?
Right.
Do you mix it up?
Because this audience is not responsive. I'm just telling you.
Well, they weren't responsive for a lot of reasons.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. So anyways, my other thing was, there's a lot of other podcasts called Meanwhile.
Okay. You got me. So 47 years ago when I thought about starting this, there wasn't.
Right.
I think that they all showed up, and you know how it is. When you put something into the universe, it appears everywhere that you don't want it to appear. And I was just like, oh my goodness. So I had already thought of it. And then I was like, this is the most brilliant name ever. Oh my gosh.
No,
this
I loved
is it.
It. Love it.
Then I go and look, and I think it was, what's four? Is it four now?
I mean, I think so. Yeah, I had a little bit. I put in Meanwhile, and then your first name, Kelvet, and immediately found it.
It's like, meanwhile, comma, the podcast. And I think there's like, meanwhile, semicolon, the podcast.
And I think there's a meanwhile ellipses.
Ellipses, dot, dot, dot.
Podcast.
The podcast. Yeah, so there's a lot of them. For a while, my podcast was podcast, the Meanwhile podcast.
Oh, that's a lot of podcasts.
It was an accident, but for a while, it was podcast, the Meanwhile podcast.
That sounds like you have, like, Tourette's or something.
It was a mess. But now I think it's the Meanwhile podcast. We're going to roll with this until we hit 1 million subscribers.
Holla!
Whenever that happens. So I invited Miss Turner on the show today because she is a wealth of knowledge. She is a mental health professional.
Yeah. I'm a licensed school counselor.
I didn't know how much I could.
You could say that. You might as well.
Okay. A licensed school counselor. And she has a lot of experience with mental health and children and other areas.
I mean, sure. Okay. Yeah.
A wealth of knowledge. An endless
She knows some other stuff about some other things.
And she knows words and puts them together and makes sentences. So today our podcast is going to be about a recession, people. We are in a recession, per se, the experts. Mm-hmm. A sexual recession. That's right.
Yeah.
We are in a sexual recession. And we are going to talk about whether this is true and everything else about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, Kelvette and I were talking the other day about, like, what to talk about on here. And I was like, did you know that people aren't having sex? Okay. Young people aren't having sex anymore. And this was kind of, like, so interesting, I think, to mm-hmm. both of us.
Sure.
Because we could all think about 8 million reasons why this was happening. And there really, there's a myriad of reasons why it's happening. So I just wanted to talk about that because I think it's fascinating.
But and then as I kind of explored and looked into it, I think there's so many different reasons that it made me almost feel like there isn't one reason.
Right.
There isn't just like, oh, and that's why. It's right. kind of like, well, that happened and then that happened mm-hmm. plus that, mm-hmm. you know, minus that, you know, and mm-hmm. So all those things together have led to this, what they're kind of looking at a decline. And we're talking about the United States specifically, but we'll kind of go into other places as well too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when people's maybe knee-jerk reaction to that is like, oh, it's because of the internet, it's because of social media. Well, I mean, that's, to me, that's a big part of it. Not the only reason, but many parts of it have to do with, you know, social media and dating apps and the internet and pornography and a lot of things that weren't really happening like 20 years ago,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
30 years ago. So it's interesting.
And that made me think about how do we really narrow down our discussion? Because some of this stuff is just reasons that people in general don't have sex.
Yeah.
And then some of it is specific to this time period as to why mm-hmm. this time period people are having less sex, as well as like using the term recession, it kind of makes it sound like it's like a lot of people not having sex.
You know? Right. But it, I mean, so people having sex, like younger people or even older people or married people has dropped. It's dropped significantly, you know, when some of the percentages that I looked at high school kids over, let's say, the past 16 years, it went from 54% of high school students engaging in sex to 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's maybe not huge, but we see ramifications, I think, also as people get older. So when they're in their 20s and 30s and they're still not partnered up, they're not falling in love. They're not, you know, cohabitating. Mm-hmm. They're not having children. Then it gets to be kind of a, like a larger societal problem and not just like, oh, ha ha, nobody's having sex anymore. It's going to, you know, it's going to have some major ramifications.
You think so?
We're going to see it soon. Yeah.
See, I don't know if I think it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, so when the birth rate drops, then
it only
obviously.
Dropped, what, 2%, 3%?
Well, I think it went from like the average of, and don't quote me because I'm just calling from my own memory, like people having, let's say, 2.3 kids to now having like 1.6 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it doesn't seem huge, but I think we're going to see it more and more. I mean, you and I are both child-free, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of other people that are choosing to be child-free or just not finding the time, not finding the time to be in a relationship and definitely not finding the time to make having children a priority. So that has like economical, you know, ramifications and just kind of like a longer term. It's a longer term issue for society, I think, in the United States. I don't think it's necessarily bad, though. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of where I was at. I kind of didn't think I was not seeing it as a bad thing. I just kind of saw it as. And that's why I kind of was like, why so much shock? Why so much, like, why are we sounding the horns? Because I don't think that there is that much of an issue because I don't know if it directly correlates to happiness. And I don't,
yeah.
So I was listening to somebody talk about how happiness is one third based on sex, mm-hmm. like sexual satisfaction. And
that's a big percentage. I thought, one third is a lot.
I thought so too. I thought so too. So when I, so kind of when I was looking at it and I was like, that seems very significant, but I don't think that the correlation is right. I really don't think it matches up. And that was from another.
No, and I don't think that one has to be coupled up to be happy either. I think that's a rather old-fashioned idea, mm-hmm. is that you have to be partnered with someone to have a fulfilling life. I don't necessarily think that. I think why this topic is of interest is that you're looking at baby boomers that were having sex all over the place. You're looking at Gen X, which I'm a part of, that had some of the youngest, you know, everybody in Gen X started having sex when they were 16. Mm-hmm. And so now... And millennials and even younger folks are waiting until they're 18, 20, sometimes into their 30s, mm-hmm. before beginning to have sex or even beginning to couple up with someone. Mm-hmm. I think what I got, so we read this article in The Atlantic, mm-hmm. by Kate Julian, and it was specifically about the drop-off of young people having sex. And I think what my takeaway from that was that it was kind of sad because people aren't falling in love. And I think that is an important part of life. And that does make people happy when you are in love with someone. And if there's not that ability to reach out and connect with people, and have like a meaningful relationship and a meaningful sexual relationship, then you are kind of missing out on some of the things in life.
So I kind of looked at it a little bit differently because I don't necessarily think that being in a relationship, I don't think you need to be in a sexual relationship to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if sex is necessary to have a healthy relationship. Right. Or is it?
I mean, I think that's, again, maybe an idea is that to have a healthy relationship, you have to have a healthy sex life. But I think that is determined by the couple, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so what does our sex life look like? How often? Is it not often? Are we happy holding hands on the couch? Right. Do we need to have sex, you know, 14 times a week? Whatever. I mean, it's everybody is completely different.
Right.
I think it was just... again, to me, it was just interesting to see that there has been a drop off, and it's a big change. So that's what's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I look at, like, I think what's probably to me more important is the intimacy.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily, yes. have to be sex, but I think it has to be that level of intimacy and whatever that means for that couple. Because, yeah. I think there's a lot more, and we'll get into, actually. Maybe we can hop in. Mm-hmm. So I thought we could kind of play a game.
Let's play a game.
Okay. So we both kind of have a little list, mm-hmm. of some of the reasons that there is a sexual recession right, mm-hmm. now. And I thought maybe we could do it like categories.
Okay.
Where you say one, and then like if the other person doesn't have it, we kind of can like talk about that one.
Oh, okay.
There is no winners because there is no winners in life. Okay. Is that true?
Just only losers. Okay.
Only losers in second place. Okay. So I'll start. I was saying that I read a different article, but it had like the top seven reasons that millennials and young people are having less sex. And it was from Psychology Today. And I didn't write the gal's name down, but I'll put that in the footer.
Okay. Yeah, I read that one too.
Yes, mm-hmm. The top seven reasons. So, and it kind of had a little bit of this and a little bit of the one from the... American Ocean, the Ocean Journal. So the first one they had on there was parent pressure. Do you have that one?
Yeah. So okay. I do have that. And I mean, you probably know a lot of kids. I know a lot of kids personally and professionally that are just overscheduled. Mm. And I joke all the time with people that are my age, like, oh, that was 70s parenting, or that's a result of, you know, all the parents when I grew up were the same, and they were probably pretty neglectful by comparison of today's standards.
Okay.
So, you know, kids today, teens and kids, they have school, they may have work, they've got soccer practice or baseball practice, then swim starts at 5:30 in the morning, and they have to get their calculus homework done, and they have to study for the SAT. Mm-hmm. There is literally no time for kids to pursue, like, relationships, let alone have sex, because every minute of their day is overscheduled by their parents.
Okay.
And their parents know where they are every minute of the day.
So that they kind of call that like helicopter parents. Like they were saying that.
Yeah. Because, and now I think helicopter parents are just parents now.
Oh, that's the, like, that's the new term.
I feel like they're just now, there's no more helicoptering. It's just, it's like that's being a good parent. So mm-hmm. if you know that your child has lacrosse practice every day from 3:30 until 8:30,
yeah.
and then you eat dinner at Chipotle, and then from 9 until 11, they have to do their homework before they have to get up and, you know, run 8 miles because they're in lacrosse or something, then that's being a good parent and making sure your child is well-rounded and that, you know, your child has plenty of activities to do for the purpose of getting into a good college.
So you keep saying you're kind of talking about like high school age kids.
Yes.
I don't think they even need to be having sex, or is that another topic altogether?
I mean, that's maybe another topic and in an opinion, but the point is that I think
so that's where it's starting.
Historically, we think like, oh, teenagers are always about screwing all the time,
right.
you know? And again, like in people of my generation, we were. Because our parents didn't know where we were. Mm-hmm. We didn't have cell phones. We had to have a lot of free time. And nobody had to be in sports. So we were hanging out and, you know, having sex. And it just was what everybody was doing.
Okay.
Was having kind of like a lot of bad sex.
That's on my list too.
I know. But that's I got a lot to say about that. So what we're talking, so in this article in The Atlantic, I swear to God, Beecham, I had to reread it 5 times because apparently now, according to Teen Vogue, an article in Teen Vogue, that anal sex has gone to fifth base. Now that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I read it 5 times as filth based. So there.
I did too. Wait. So wait, I still thought it was. Did it say fifth?
It said fifth base.
No, it said filth.
No.
It said filth. Wait, are you serious?
Fifth.
Because I looked at it, and I was like, filth-based. And I was like, why is this even in here?
I was like, what? And I was like, it is kind of filth-based, isn't it?
That's real dirty. That's what I thought it said.
It is the new fifth base.
Fifth base?
Yes.
So they've changed the sport.
Oh, it's something else entirely.
Okay, so it's not even baseball anymore.
No.
Filth base.
It's like croquet or like something we don't have in this country.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I was like, filth based. That doesn't fit in there. Filth based.
I didn't understand that.
I literally read it 5 times.
No. So my brain still is reading it as filth.
I mean, it's filthy.
I can't handle it. So,
and again,
I didn't like that it was in Teen Vogue.
Yes.
I was like, so like some of this is about that. Because for me, I was having a hard time understanding what is the big rush? Like, why are we so like, these kids need to be having sex. And I'm like, I don't know what the...
No, I think it's just, I think it's just out of curiosity and remarking upon it. I don't know that anyone is encouraging teens to have sex.
Well, Teen Vogue is encouraging, I mean, like...
Well, they're normalizing anal sex. And I think that is part and parcel with the age of the internet and pornography is like, well, this is kind of what people do, right?
Well, is that on your list?
Specifically what?
What number are you on? Okay, so I did my first number one.
Listen, you know I got 18 pages of notes.
She has a lot of notes. Okay, hold on, wait. Okay, we'll go back to your thesaurus. Use your thesaurus to find out what page you should be on.
I have to go to the table of contents first. But I don't know. I was going to go in order, but
okay,
so, I can't go in order now, but I'm just going to... Okay. Well, I'm going to turn the page.
Wait, did you finish on that?
No, I did.
Okay. Oh,
that was it, because it was filth-based.
I don't know.
But, you know, I think I was talking to my friend this morning about being on this podcast, and she was like, you know, the sex that teenagers are having, it's really all for the guys.
That kind of comes in to my number, to bad.
Yes, so that's all for the guys, too.
Hey, where are we? Tell me what your friend said.
Well, she's like, you know, she was sharing a story like, you know, this is why these guys want to have anal sex, or this is why these guys have sex. And the contraception is still all on these young women, right? Like, so they're like, oh, somebody's on birth control. Somebody got the Nuva ring, somebody, you know, and she's like, these guys aren't doing anything. I'm like, no, they're doing something. They're getting laid. And meanwhile, these girls are probably not physically mature enough, mentally mature enough to be orgasming. And they're having sex often for all of the wrong reasons. Because no one sat me down and said, here are some reasons that you should have sex. Because the message that I got was just don't do it.
Right. Super taboo.
Instead of, you know, if you want to do it, make sure, like, here are some things you need to know in terms of your own pleasure, your own boundaries, being able to say no, being able to say what you like, what you don't like. So, you know, young women talking about bad sex are just getting pounded.
Right.
Not enjoying themselves. And having to act like, you know, porn stars or something, because that's what guys are now used to. And that's what they think normal sex is like.
Well, that, for me, is a good reason to not do it, because you're able to say, I'm not going to do something that I don't enjoy. So I was like, good for you. Yeah, it's painful and bad. Don't do it.
But I think if you don't have any foundation, you don't have any sex education foundation, you don't know what sex is like going in. No one's talked to you about it. You know, you've learned about, like, the nuts and bolts and the plumbing from your sex ed class in high school or middle school.
Okay.
And then you've learned about this fantasy, surreal aspect from internet pornography. But who is setting people down, you know, young men and young women, and saying, if you don't like something, tell them no. Who, parents aren't talking to kids specifically about what they want sexually because it's too scary for parents to talk about.
I definitely think you're right. But I think that even more than that, I think it sounds like the conversations are not about bad sex or good sex. It's about no sex.
Absolutely. Still, it's about no sex, or we're going to ignore that sex is out there. We're definitely going to ignore the fact that you might be thinking about it, or you might be having it as a teen.
So I think that is a discussion about, when do you tell kids all the facets of sex?
Right.
Or youth.
Right. I think when it's time for them to start thinking about sex, that's when you start to talk to them. So when they're like 15, 16, I think it's okay to have those conversations with kids about all the facets of sex, because their number one educator on the topic is the internet and their friends.
But people are having less, and I think, and this isn't on my list, but I think people are having less because of super exposure. I think because you've seen it all by the time you're in college. By your first day of college, you've seen everything that the internet has to offer, because there's very loose guidance on these cellular devices and on the internet. I just think that by the time kids are getting to, what do you say, like, by the time they're old enough to actually watch it, they've already seen too much.
Yeah.
And I think that what ends up happening is, because of that, I think people are making the choice to not. Because they're like, I don't think that looks pleasurable. No,
and it's intimidating, too. Yeah. So all the dudes have big schlongs. All the women weigh like 14 pounds, and 13 of that is their breasts. And so you're thinking, I'll tell you after.
I've never seen that.
But, you know, they're thinking, number one, I don't look like that.
Okay.
So maybe I'm not a person that can have sex, because I know I don't look like that naked. And that's intimidating to me to have something stuffed in an orifice, or have other people involved, or all the other bevy of weird shit that you see on the internet that is quote unquote normal. And then you think, that doesn't look fun to me.
Okay.
And I think, like, for us, I mean, you're a little bit younger than I am, but you remember an age where not everybody had the internet.
Yes, I do.
So in probably, like, you know, as an adolescent growing up, there wasn't a lot of internet. There wasn't the same amount. No. So, you know, growing up, we didn't have pornography, internet pornography, as an educator about what sex looked like. And I think this is my soapbox, is when I talk to parents that they need to have conversations, because kids are looking online and thinking, oh, well, that's what sex is. And mm-hmm. we look online and we say, oh, well, that's like this fantasy version.
That's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
Sure.
It's not realistic to, you know, go on a first date and get choked. Like, did you read that part?
Yes.
About how the girls were like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I didn't realize that I had to say I didn't want to be choked because this is a thing. But is this a thing that's happening?
That's my whole consent speech. I have a consent speech that I give already about hugs. Mm-hmm. You got us. A woman had last year did a whole consent thing about hugs mm-hmm. and touch. You have to ask to touch people in any type of way.
Right.
So even anybody who wants to give you a hug, even if it's somebody that you're supposed to hug, like your uncle or yeah. your cousins, people should have to ask you to hug you mm-hmm. because, and you should have to ask them, is it okay to give them a hug? Mm-hmm. Because I think that right there is the first place where we're breaking down the boundaries and telling people that it's okay for anybody to give you a hug.
Right.
Anybody can give you a kiss. And yeah, they're doing it out of kindness.
Anybody could choke you out.
Anybody. And that's what it leads to. You have to set boundaries with people where you say, like, this is where I'm at. This is where the boundary is.
And I think what's confusing is that, like, I didn't even know that that was in play. I didn't even know that choking was, like, a possibility. I can understand, like, somebody was like, okay, I don't want you to slip it in my butt. Like, I kind of get that more so than somebody trying to choke you out in the middle of intercourse. Like, I didn't know I needed a safe word. I didn't know. Like, what else are you going to do? Punch me in the side? Like, do I need to tell you not to do that?
People are into that. I think that that's the problem, is that, one, people are not having sex with people that they're, that they even know.
Mm, yes.
Like, so if you have sex with somebody, you know, and I think that.
Hookup culture.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's on here. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of on bad sex. We're going mm-hmm. to try to get back on kind of like. Okay. Do you want to go through? Okay. Nope. So we're kind of on bad sex right now. So as far as people saying bad sex, what did you have on that?
Well, really, I was flabbergasted by the fact that choking was routine. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
I know that sometimes things start off one way and they can end up another. So I think that people need to be upfront with anybody that you're engaging in any type of sexual act with. But I think that that goes to why there is a recession, because people don't know that what sex is anymore.
I mean, then I feel like that opens the doors, like, hold on, I'm going to go put on my rhinoceros suit and stuff a banana up your hoo-ha.
Up your tailpipe.
You know, like, so would you have to, I mean, there's too many options to say what you're not into or what you, I mean.
I don't think so. I think you can be into that on your first date, but you also need to be into a discussion that has to happen before your first date. I think people are too passive, but I also think that you shouldn't be having sex with people if you're not able to say what you want from them.
Do you think that this is part of what's intimidating to people?
I yes. mean,
specifically women. Like, I don't know. I met this guy on Tinder. Seems cute.
Okay.
Maybe we're having sex.
Okay.
Or thinking about it. Like, maybe I don't want to because I don't know what he's into. It could be anything. And I'm not down for anything.
Absolutely. That's why.
Because that's... Talk about an awkward conversation. There's, like, are you in some real freaky shit? Like, you have that conversation with someone you don't know.
Well, no, that, okay, see, so you're, okay. That's how they start.
Yeah.
That's the introductory, that's actually the first line they send
you. That's the first line. Okay.
And then if you respond, you're immediately into it, then they immediately think that you're into it.
Okay.
But that's for the online dating podcast that I'm going to do later.
All right.
Where I tell you all the horrible things that can happen online dating.
Many episodes.
Meanwhile, we're online dating. Mm-hmm. But as far as like bad sex and painful sex, I know that they were saying that people are experiencing actual physical pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Vaginal fissures. That's what I read. How about that? Vaginal fissures. From getting pounded,
mm-hmm.
anal sex with no lube.
I didn't mean to laugh. That's just
horrible. These are realistic. sick.
That's horrible.
And so,
but like, that's, I mean, I've heard that before. I've heard hospital visits.
Because again, yeah, this is, I think, the fantasy that comes from pornography is that girls are always ready and they're down for whatever. And then you end up really not only not having good sex, definitely not having an orgasm, but getting kind of hurt afterwards. And it's not pleasurable and it's not fun. And if you can masturbate by yourself, you could lead to much better results.
Okay, well, so let's go to that one. So that's on your page two. Go ahead, refer to page two. Solo.
Let me go back.
Sex for one. Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, obviously, you know, with pornography, it's easier to stay home and beat off. And you know, the research has shown that men and women are beating off a lot more. Like men, it's like doubled, and women, it's like tripled, because I think women finally have some access to easy pornography without going into, you know, the sex store and picking up some big box porn or a three pack. I think it's the magazines.
I mean, okay.
Just, I'm saying, for example.
For example. Oh my gosh. All right. Susan, circa 2000. No, I think that also they know how. I think before there was a little bit of a learning curve where people actually didn't know how.
Yeah.
I think that there was women, as far as like the increase in percentage. What are you peeking at?
I'm just looking at my notes.
So as far, yeah. And I think that that also kind of falls under the rise, like as far as the other article talked about the rise of individualism. And we'll kind of group those two together.
Yeah. Talk about that. The rise of individualism.
Okay. So what she was saying was that as far as people now are able to categorize themselves as whatever they see fit. And a lot more people are saying, I am going to abstain from sex because I am
incels, etc.
And well, even people that are like, I'm not going to have sex because that's my choice.
Okay.
Like I'm asexual, or I am not going to have sex because I prefer masturbation, or I prefer something different
for religious reasons or whatever.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the rise of individualism as far as people being able to say that might be the norm for our culture to want to have sex, but I'm okay with myself, even though I don't, because I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I think there's a lot, that's what my whole point is. I think there's a little bit of guilt being placed on people not wanting to have sex. I think it's kind of like, why don't you? And you're like,
right.
That's not what I'm really into.
Right.
And, or I'm waiting, or and I think that's a good thing. So for me, it was kind of like, wow, people are starting to kind of stand up for themselves versus getting married, having a kid, and not being really into sex and having sex with your husband, even though you really aren't into it.
Yeah. I think, in that Psychology Today article, it was like, okay, so we're kind of brought up to believe, to think that human beings are these very sexual creatures and they are going to want to have sex all the time because that is their drive.
Right.
And that's normal. Right. Mm-hmm. So now, because of individualism in the age of the internet, we're seeing this drop off. They're saying, well, maybe that's not typical. Like maybe human beings don't need to be banging all the time.
Right.
Maybe they're okay not having sex. And now we're just finally kind of letting loose of some of those societal pressures that you always have to be pursuing a mate. You always have to be pursuing sex.
Right.
This was like, you know, the great American pastime is that you have to pursue a partner, you have to pursue sexual partners. And now we're in a place where saying, well, yeah, maybe, no, you don't. Maybe it's okay if you are staying home on a Saturday night and you choose to masturbate, or you just choose to watch Netflix or whatever you want to do.
Right, right. If you want to eat a bag of Doritos instead of having sex, there is nothing wrong with you.
No.
And I think that that's what the rise of individualism was kind of saying to me. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with that. I was for it.
Yeah. And I think it just puts a whole spin, a new spin on that biological drive for humans. So maybe it wasn't so much of a biological drive as it was a societal drive.
I think it was also a things to do drive.
Like, right.
I think for a while, I mean, there was not as many options of things to do.
Yes.
We have so many choices now.
Yes.
And I think that that used to be what can make my dopamine receptors go bazonkers. Mm-hmm. And now you can be sitting on your couch with headphones on your ears with your remote control in your hand and your same dopamine receptors are going bazonkers like you're, you know, with your favorite person. Or you know,
Right. I mean, I think that's a super good point. And another point that they brought up in the article is that there's just a little bit too much to mm-hmm. do. So it's not that people are choosing to masturbate instead of having sex. They might be scrolling their Facebook feed for 2 hours.
Yes.
They might be looking through Instagram. They might be watching Netflix, binging on Netflix. And again, finding that so much more enjoyable than the awkwardness and the risk and the vulnerability of trying to find a sexual partner or yes. a mate. Like that, to me, as a married person, that seems like too much work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and then the payoff isn't worth it if you bring somebody home after two dates and, you know, get your kitty punched and then you got to rest for the rest of the weekend.
You just put ice on it. That's what I've heard.
Oh, okay.
Rumor
okay,
has it.
Got it.
Rumor
all right. has it. I mean, that's cool. But, you know, I feel like I don't want to treat it like a sprained wrist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want to treat my badge like I went roller skating and twisted my ankle. I don't want to treat
right.
it like
no,
that.
No. Rest, ice, compression, elevation. Rice that. Okay. So we kind of are in my number six right now, which is people are satisfying their sexual desires not with other people, but with things like
right.
swipes mm-hmm. on their, you know, a game, mm-hmm. Candy Crush. People
right.
are crushing it, you know.
Yeah.
What else are people, what did you?
Well, I think what came out of the article for me was that, like, a lot of women are just relying upon their female friends, their mm-hmm. platonic female friends mm-hmm. to go out, to have fun, to share information on, like, pornography or what's, you know, a new sex toy or something like that. So they're kind of eschewing getting together with guys. Because women are just so much comfortable to be with. It's just so much easier. It's just so much more fun often.
Okay.
And it's not, you don't have to be as vulnerable because your friends take you at face value. It's just easier. And quite frankly, you get like a lot more satisfaction from those relationships, I think.
So they're saying that female relationships are kind of taking the precedent over more romantic relationships?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is one thing that they touched upon that was going on. And I kind of believe it. It's just a little bit easier for folks. And I mean, you know, if everyone around you is not partnered up and, you know, everybody's kind of in the same situation, then that gets normalized,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, well, none of my friends have a boyfriend or none of my friends are married or have kids right now. And so you're like, well, this becomes the new normal.
Okay.
And I get that too. So. Yeah.
Okay. So, I had inhibition and they kind of talked about, I didn't like this one because I felt like people have always had inhibitions and have bad issues with their bodies.
Sure.
And so I didn't buy that one. I was kind of like, I'll take it.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that there's a lot more than just inhibition that has made an impact on the overall new sexual recession, which is what they're kind of talking about.
I think what was interesting to me was, like, I totally agree with you. Like, everybody has had body hangups.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, there's been going on forever. Everybody doesn't feel confident in their body. But what people do confidently is take, like, naked pictures of themselves mm-hmm. and send it to someone.
Yeah.
So when you do that over the internet or via text, that feels safe and comfortable. And then in real life, it becomes very awkward. You get very, like, because I don't have a filter.
I don't
you're
have not a filter, wearing a filter
on it. No, I just was thinking about that.
No, you don't have Photoshop.
No.
No. So that's why I don't ever Photoshop or filter my pictures, because you are going to see the raw, real deal every time. They filter it. They can Photoshop it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that becomes very safe
mm-hmm.
if I can Photoshop myself to look like Khloe Kardashian or whoever, yeah. you know. But then in real life, when I take my top off, you realize it doesn't look no, the same no. at all.
You're like, where do you get those pock marks?
Right. Is that a jelly bean in your navel?
Like, what is
Where'd that?
Where'd
that come from?
But you know what? That's the point. I think that, but I also think people are much more accepting of that kind of stuff. So people need to let it go a little bit on that end.
I mean, they do. I think that the idea is that, okay, whoever my sexual partner is going to expect somebody that looks like maybe the picture that I sent, or expect someone to look like the video that they just watched mm-hmm. before they came over here or whatever. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's weeding out that fantasy from reality that we need to have a serious talk with young people about, that sex isn't like pornography at all. I mean, it can be, I guess, but most often it's not. Hmm. The people don't look the same, and you're not doing the same things. And you, okay, all right.
What? No, what's your thinking? I keep going.
I don't know what everybody's into. I can only really speak for myself. And again, I grew up in an age without the internet,
right.
by and large, and people were kind of just lucky to be there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And we were literally feeling around in the dark trying to figure things out.
Yes.
And it wasn't this like well-lit scenario where people were completely manicured and pubes
right.
were shaven
right.
and,
right.
you know, people had abs and all this other stuff. I mean, even the pornography that was around then in a Playboy and stuff like that. It's like...
It had a different look.
Definitely.
I think
it looks so much more milquetoast, I think.
I think it looks more realistic now. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. I think because of the wealth of it, I don't think that you have to see... And I'm not saying from personal experience at all.
Oh, heavens, no.
No. But I'm saying, from the research I've done... I think that the overwhelming majority of what's out now is more realistic. Mm-hmm. The lean is towards what do people really look like?
Okay.
And that's what people are into.
Okay.
So I think that some people want the manufactured, you know, really shiny, glossy
yeah.
look. But the lean, I feel, is towards
more realism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want gunshot wounds.
They want that bruise on the
they
upper
want
thigh.
That upper thigh bruise. They mm-hmm. need it.
They need a C-section scar.
They
want to see
it.
That.
They want to see what you're going to do with it. Are you going to put a tat over it?
Right.
Are you going to wear a little nightgown? You
yeah.
know, this is from the research. So,
I mean, we're not going to say what research. Let's just leave it at. There's been research that has been done.
Yeah. So I think that that happens. And so I think that for me, that kind of makes the sexual recession even more challenging to say, I think it exists
mm-hmm.
because I think that the pornography is more real. So they are seeing more realistic sexual images.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't look like much is happening, you know? And I think that that's what people are like. I think it looks much more realistic now.
So you mean in terms of their bodies or the acts?
Both.
Or both? Okay.
Both.
So very typical bodies, very typical
yes.
acts.
Yes. Yes.
Choke, a little bit of choking?
I don't, okay, so like to get there, you gotta do a lot. So research has shown, you gotta do a lot of clicking to get there. So.
To get to the choke
corner?
You
gotta do a lot of chick clicking. That's not on today's top hits. That's not gonna be on the main screen, so.
And I don't know, I mean, again, I don't know, but they acted like, oh, every bitch is getting choked out. Like,
oh,
if you're on a date with somebody, prepare to get choked.
No.
That was my takeaway.
Choking. People, I don't. No. No. Nope.
I hope not.
I don't know why that was. I think that was one. I thought that article used a lot of people's personal stories.
Right. Anecdotal stories as gross overgeneralizations.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they can't. She was whoever. She was pulling.
Yeah.
So, and I think that. That's something I didn't like about the article is that they had a lot of that.
Yeah.
One-offs.
Yeah.
As the rule.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's one-off.
Yeah.
That's not, how does that make, nobody's choking. I mean, people are choking, but if you're getting choked right in, you know, the Meanwhile Podcast Instagram. Yeah, write in. Let me know if you're getting choked. Because I don't think, unless I'm like way off, I don't think that everybody is getting choked out.
I hope not. I really hope not. That, I found that quite disturbing.
I don't think it.
For a myriad of reasons.
I mean, has somebody's underwear gotten cut off before with a knife from under a bed? I guess. I've read that somewhere. You know? Yeah, but you gotta know the person.
I mean, I could almost get with that more than getting choked out. That's,
you gotta,
like,
know the person.
Can I give you a bloody nose? Like, can I bang
you? Can
I
punch you in the side?
Can I punch you? That's like a donkey punch. Isn't that a donkey
punch?
That's
from behind.
All right.
In the back of the head.
This is like another mini episode we're talking about here.
Well, okay. Well, did you get all your pages? Because I had, only thing I had left was the part about dating apps, hookups, instead of romantic relationships.
No, I'm not done. I don't know how much time we have left, but I'm not done.
Where are you at?
So there's a couple of things. What I wanted to talk about
was dating apps.
I did want to talk about dating
apps.
Let's go.
Because I have to say, if you're not on the apps, I almost feel like you don't, I don't know if I agree with anything. I'm ready.
All right. Well, these are just something that they talked about in the article, but they weren't like specific instances that they want to create overgeneralizations about.
So they talked
necessarily
about like 300 swipe, like that guy, like 1 in 300. That guy talked about how if you're swiping,
yeah. So there were some stats like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So one thing that I thought was remarkable is that so people don't really want to meet one another. Let's say at a bar.
Okay.
Because if I'm a guy and I find you attractive, then to go up to you and say, hey, how are you? Can I get you a drink? Is perceived as creepy.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm. And I would be a creep and the woman would feel like the guy was creepy. Even if it was as innocuous as, hey, I'm Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want another Manhattan or... I'm going to be here for a while. Like, that's like, ew, gross. And so that to me, I feel like is kind of sad that people aren't available and able to connect.
That's it. Once again, overgeneralization.
Okay.
Because why is that person saying that other person is creepy? Isn't because they're creepy. It's because that person is not attracted to that other person.
Okay.
So, okay, let a hot dude walk up to you and you're
right.
Like, hi, I'm Tom. You're like, yes, and
yeah.
Here's my labia.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
So you're a little less restrained if it's somebody that you're like, oh, I'm into this.
Right.
And I think that I saw that and I said, that's not true. I talked to my friend about that because she had a friend that got approached by a guy at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, he was so weird. He was so creepy. And she was like, what made him creepy? She was like, I didn't like him.
Okay, so if you're not attracted to someone, then that makes you
creepy. Yes.
Okay.
So, and I think that people have gotten away from the dance of flirtation and romance. Mm-hmm. I mean, and like getting to know somebody and courting.
Yeah.
We have gotten away from that.
Because there's rejection involved.
That's
and there's
why.
Vulnerability.
That's
and
why.
And that's uncomfortable.
That's why.
And if you're swiping, then you know someone's into you, potentially.
Yes.
Or having those conversations, you know that you're kind of on the same page. You know what the person looks like or what they're into. But I think like maybe I'm old school in that sort of thrill of the chase is kind of fun too.
I think that that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want it to be too easy, but they also want to know they're going to win. They want to know they're going to get their participation pussy.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. That's okay. It's okay to cuss. I've already decided.
Oh, we have to. We didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about it. It's going to be our wrap up.
They didn't. No. So they really don't talk about that. Like they make it seem like that was the issue, is that every time you approach somebody, you're going to get rejected. No. You're mad because you're going to get rejected, but you're also not going to get anything out of it.
Right.
Whereas people don't mind losing, but they want to make sure they at least win. And they're,
yeah. I just felt like that was so contradictory to think like, oh, well, somebody is being like awkward or boorish if they were like trying to buy you a drink. Like that was socially unacceptable. But then what is acceptable is after I've texted with you 2 times, all of a sudden I get a picture of your dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that to me
mm-hmm.
is extremely presumptuous.
We're off the rails. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that happens a lot.
Yeah.
you know, where you're just having like, oh yeah, hey, yeah, I live by the lake or whatever. Then all of a sudden, schlong time. Like, yes. Out of nowhere.
It's better now. I was younger, it was that was it. Yeah. I was like, hey, what are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, at home watching Netflix. Dick pic. So, but now I think it is, I at least get 5 texts before mm-hmm. I get the dick pic.
Okay, that's a lot of warm
the
up.
The unrequested, unwarranted.
Well, right. It would be different if you were having like a sexy conversation
no,
via
text.
No,
it's just for no reason. No reason.
And instead it's just, I mean, it's to like, me, hey. I wouldn't like that.
It's offensive.
I think it's offensive.
And it's so prevalent that it is the norm. I mean, I would think that it's more than not. Like I said, less as I got older.
Yeah.
But when I was young in these streets, it was messy.
There was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot. So one stat that they had, and I believe this, is that 2/3 of the messages from men go to the top 1/3 of the women rated the most physically attractive on these dating sites.
Yes.
So all the hotties are getting all the messages,
mm-hmm.
and basically everybody's punching above their weight class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody wants to get with that person that looks, you know, the most physically attractive by conventional standards. And I feel like how's this even work? How's it even going to work?
So I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to have to repeat this because I'm going to talk about it on that episode.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you swipe a really hot guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, he might be too hot for me.
Yeah.
So you swipe him. And what you find out is that he swiped you too. And you're like, okay, is he slumming it? Like, why did he swipe me? What you find out is he swiped you because he only wants you for one specific reason.
You're talking about S-E-X.
I'm talking about S-E-X.
Got it.
Yep. Right. They don't want to date you.
Not a relationship.
They're not interested in you.
Right.
They're like, I would hit it, but I would also
quit it.
There we go.
And in between, you might get choked out a little bit. In between quitting time,
you might get choked out. So I think that that's the thing. Like, you can swipe and swipe and swipe.
Yeah.
Above your weight class, go for it.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening is, know that some of those people are not looking to date you or marry you. They're looking for one specific thing.
And that's fine if you are looking for one specific thing. But if you are on, you know, a website to get into a relationship or to date somebody, that's not super. That's not super for 2/3 of women.
It's ineffective.
It's incredibly ineffective.
And it's not even the swipey swipe ones. It's matched to.
Absolutely.
You know, I think.
Yes.
And I think they say, like, if you're on the paying... You're going to have to, yeah, if you're on the paying ones, it's worse.
Oh, really? I thought it would be better.
No. Well, it's worse because nobody's going to swipe you.
Mm.
If people don't like you, they're not wasting any of their energy on
you. Right.
So on those other apps, the Tinders, the Bumbles, the Coffee Meets the Bagel, the Hinges, all those, you're getting tons of swipes. You're getting tons of swipes, but they're only looking at you for one thing. On the Matches and the eHarmonies, you're getting nothing.
Just crickets.
But that's also based on some other stuff, you know, like race, age, weight.
Sure.
So when you get into those things on the other apps, that's why you got to come back. You're going to be a guest.
Okay.
You got to come back.
I'll come back and talk about it. There's a lot to discuss.
So as far as the apps.
I'm just going to get Tinder on my phone. You think my husband's going to care about that? I mean, just for research, all right, man? It's just for research.
I think you could, I'll give you my login.
Because you and I have done that before and
swiped.
I didn't even know how to swipe.
Yeah.
And I was doing all these swipes and you're like, I don't even like him.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it's too late.
It was too late. I'm serious. Yeah. And probably still got choked out by him. Who knows? Okay. So did you have more things about online?
No, I also think, like, what I read was that this no sex issue is not necessarily a gay and lesbian issue. This is a heterosexual issue by and large.
Okay.
Like, I think in the age of internet. Oh, come on now.
Oh, gosh.
Come on now.
Oh, gosh.
Come on.
Oh, gosh. Should we pause?
Maybe pause. There's been an accident.
Oh, gosh. I'm scared to pause. Oh, gosh. It's gonna get.
You want me to get a towel?
Okay, yeah,
you
okay.
You want to get a towel?
I can't. I'm locked in.
There's been a spill.
Okay, we're gonna pause. Okay.
Your sparkling water.
Oh, wait. Okay.
All right, cool.
Okay.
We're back in business.
I think. We'll see. Okay. I hope.
All right. Tragedy.
Prayers.
Tragedy
averted. Oh, I can smell it. Oh, it smells like melon.
That's all right. We just had a little spill, but that's fine. But no, what I was saying was that this isn't, by and large, a gay and lesbian issue. This is primarily a heterosexual issue because I think, like, these apps probably, they probably just work better for gay and lesbian people.
I had to laugh.
Why?
Because they are used differently in different communities.
Yes.
And I think, what do you think that they are used for in the other communities? Originally, Grindr was made for meetups.
Hookups.
Yeah. So I think they're still using it for that.
Yes. I think it works better for the purposes of sex.
Oh, I thought you were saying relationship.
Oh, honey,
I got so... I laughed.
No.
I cackled.
Relationships.
No, none of that.
That's a four-letter word. No, I'm just talking about for the purposes of
sex.
F-U-C-K-ing.
Oh, so for sex, you're saying...
Yeah.
Look how I spelled that. That's terrifying.
That's all right.
So, for the purposes of sex, yes.
I think it has to be very, very liberating, especially for people that were like... You know, there's a lot that goes in. You have to be so much more vulnerable as a gay person to hit on somebody else. You know, what if they're straight? Am I going to get beat up? Are they going to be mean and there's many more layers. And some of those layers can be dangerous.
Okay.
So I think that I'm glad that gay and lesbian people
have the apps.
And are still fucking.
Good. Thank you for keeping the stat alive, y'all. I don't know if it is working any better because I know that people have started to try to use them for the same purpose, for dating, for relationships.
Dating relationships, yeah.
And I think that so those people are not having sex,
right?
Because I'm trying to meet somebody.
Almost impossible.
It is, and I feel like
for everybody.
I feel like
whoever you're having sex with,
the apps need to do something to kind of, there needs to be a different set of apps.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like if you're really serious about relationships and not just hooking up, this is the app for you. But then they start that app and then all the creeps are like, oh, look, a fresh pool.
I mean, everything becomes about hooking up for some people, you know? I mean, it just really depends upon what you want. So you could go to, you know, eHarmony or Christian Mingle.
I heard those are the weird ones.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, you could go in with the best of intentions, but it doesn't mean that that's what you're going to come away with.
Sure.
So, I don't know. It's a little disheartening. I'm glad that it seems exhausting. The whole process seems exhausting. I'm tired just talking about it.
You have no idea.
I know I don't.
My phone's buzzing. I've got to go see what's happening tonight.
Well, right.
I know. I didn't know I was going to have to wear my protection collar.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what that is. Like, I'm imagining, like, one of those cones that dogs have to wear when they, like, have a surgery or get fixed.
It's my anti-choke collar when I go on dates.
Okay. So you're going to wear, like, one of those dog cones?
Yes.
It'd be like, you can't choke this bitch out.
Not today.
Are we wrapping up?
No, did you?
I'm done.
Her notes are so beautiful. I want her to make sure she gets every little bit. Did you do hookup cultures? Hookups instead of romantic relationships? Because I had that one.
We kind of talked about that.
Okay, so here's one. I'm gonna throw out a couple that my friend said that
go
was
ahead.
So good. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I said to myself, what would Malcolm Gladwell say? Would he say?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what is the most crazy reason? And they were like, maybe it's medication.
Yeah.
Maybe since this past 20 years, there's been an increase in not only street drugs, but also pharmaceutical medications that people are taking for their mental health.
Rise of anxiety and depression.
That has had a direct correlation.
Absolutely.
That was one thought.
Yeah.
And that we've blown out our dopamine receptors to the point where nothing feels good except for constant impact on those receptors through like computer games and those kind of things. So our brains are like, that doesn't even, they don't even find pleasure in it. Mm-hmm. It actually becomes more of a chore than it does like something that you can enjoy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's so many steps from getting from point A, which is, you know, meeting somebody to actually having sex with them, that people are kind of like, I'm not doing any of it.
No.
That's really a lot of work.
And if you're depressed or anxious, that's overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
If you're on meds for being anxious or depressed, then your sex drive is in the toilet.
Sure.
So you're like, totally forget this. I'm totally going to Netflix and chill with my dog or with my friend or whatever by myself. I think all signs kind of point to is it seems like it's a little bit too much effort for what you receive in return.
Yeah. What you get out of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. It just seems like a little bit too goddamn much.
Yeah. I think, and that's what I'm saying. So that was the reason that they had. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of touched on this at the beginning, but I think also the fact that there is so much out there. Mm-hmm. There's so much out there in terms of content about sex that I think that people are very specific about what they want and what they like. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes that doesn't mean they're having sex anymore.
Right.
I think they're like, I don't need to have sex to have a lot of pleasure with whatever it might be.
Right.
You know, and I'm not even saying in terms of, because some people are in, maybe people have made a whole new industry of like, I just really like feet.
Absolutely.
I love feet, you know?
Yeah.
Or I just really like this one specific, very much niche thing that they're looking for.
Yeah.
That doesn't involve actual.
I'm a brony. I like to dress up like My Little Pony and get with other people.
Yes.
And it's not a sexual thing.
It is not.
But
it's
still
getting
pleasurable.
That's what I, so that's where I'm at. I think that, so, and I don't necessarily think that, because I feel like the sexual recession from the article in the Atlantic kind of was making it sound like it was like a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. Like it was like, oh my gosh, how are we going to get this? How are we going to get it back up?
Right.
You know? And I was kind of like, I think people are doing okay. Mm-hmm. You know? And so that was my whole takeaway.
Right. I think people are doing okay too, as long as you're okay not having sex.
So your concern is for people that want to, but that aren't.
Yeah, that it becomes that it's just overwhelming or it's something that you really want and it seems like you're not getting anywhere with it. And this is for men and women.
Sure.
You can't meet the right person. It's not a long-term thing. Maybe you want a relationship. Maybe you don't want just sex. Mm-hmm. The larger, like I said, from the beginning, the larger implications are for a relationship. Mm-hmm. If that's what you're seeking and it seems too overwhelming.
And I being in that boat, exactly. I feel like you have to also have some radical acceptance about maybe that's where you're at because it's not you, it's everything else that's going on around you.
Yeah.
And you're working on not taking it personal.
Right.
Working on saying, okay, I understand that because of all these factors, there is less people that are interested in being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I think if the issue is there's a recession of relationships, that's different than there being a sexual recession.
Right. Right. But I think, you know, it's just so much sexier to say that there's a sex recession rather than a relationship recession.
That's what I thought they were saying, though. I thought it was more about like people were not having sex.
Well, it's people are not coupling up and then therefore not having sex because you don't have a romantic partner. But, you know, what they mentioned in the article is that even married couples are having a little bit less sex.
Right.
But also Netflix.
Well, I think that if you want to hear more about why married couples aren't having sex, you have to join us on that podcast coming up called Everybody Is Fubbing.
Oh, fubbing.
Did you see that term?
No.
Phone snubbing. Fubbing. It's where you're in a group and people are using their phones to not interact with other people.
Oh yeah.
Straight fubbing.
Yeah, straight and fubbing somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that before. It boggles my mind.
But in the bedroom, people are fubbing.
Oh, absolutely. They're fubbing all over the place.
Yes.
No, I wouldn't do that, but I know it happens.
Yes. So maybe you can join me on the episode where we talk about that.
I would like to do that because I've got more to say on that topic too.
Absolutely.
Fubbing.
So, okay. So we are going to wrap it up. I do want to say as a final word, with us both being mental health professionals, that we do encourage you, if you are in a place where you do want to talk to somebody about why you are having difficulties with relationships or anything related to your mental health, make sure you reach out, because I think that that's really important. And if you're in a place where you're kind of feeling like it's you, then maybe talk to somebody and get some insight on what is really going on.
Right. Talk to somebody if you're getting choked out and it's not consensual.
Always talk to somebody about that. My goodness. All right. Well, this is the Meanwhile Podcast. I really want to thank Miss Susan.
Thank you so much for having me on today. This was so fun.
Thank you for being on the podcast. And I look forward to the next time you come back.
Bye.
Bye.